ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Text 18-19. Sama
Shatrau Cha Mitre Cha
Sama Shatrau Cha Mitre Cha
Tatha Manapa Manayo
Tatha Manapa Manayo
Shitoshna Sukha Dukheshu
Shitoshna Sukha Dukheshu
Samasanga Vivarjitaha
Samasanga Vivarjitaha
Tulya Nindastu Tir Mauni
Tulya Nindastu
संतुष्टो येन केनचित्
संतुष्टो येन केनचित्
अनिकेतस्तिरमतिर्
अनिकेतस्तिरमतिर्
भक्तिमान् मे प्रियो नरः
भक्तिमान् मे प्रियो नरः।
One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. So some of these qualities we have discussed before also, like earlier Krishna said that harsha marsha bhayo udvege mukto yastha cha mai priya. Now we may find some of those qualities repeating here. So Prabhupada says here in one line in the purport that we may find some repetition in the description of the qualifications of a devotee, but this is just to emphasize the fact that a devotee must acquire all these qualifications. Without good qualifications, one cannot be a pure devotee. So Prabhupada is stressing on this point. So freedom from these dualities of Shita Ushna, Sukha Dukkha, or Man Apaman is being spoken in many places in Bhagavad Gita. Often it may appear to us that this is like somewhat like a jnani platform. That the jnanis try to become free from duality, and the devotee is supposed to be absorbed in transcendental emotions, spiritual emotions. Certainly it is true, a pure devotee, it is said, on a material platform he does not exhibit any emotions, but on a spiritual platform he exhibits all his emotions, just like the ocean, which is very grave and deep and silent on the Purnima day when the moon is shining in the sky, the very same calm ocean becomes full of high tides. On a full moon day you can see high tides in the ocean. Similarly, a devotee is generally very grave and silent and deep. At the same time, when a devotee hears the pastimes of the Lord, then his heart starts raging with emotions like the high tides of an ocean. So one acharya has given this beautiful explanation how, just like the Chandra, Krishna Chandra, when Krishna Chandra arises in the heart of the devotee, and the emotions also arise along with that, just like the high tides are rising in the heart of a devotee. So devotee exhibits only spiritual emotions. He does not exhibit material emotions like this. And he tolerates Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukkha, Man, Apaman in all these situations. This we have seen before also. In fact, as soon as one knows about the soul and begins to act on the platform of the soul, right from that point of time, one is supposed to gradually work on these things. Just like we say in the 13th chapter, 13th verse of 2nd chapter, isn't it? Dhirastatrana mukhyati. Dhira, one who can distinguish between body and soul, he never laments when someone passes away. Subsequently, Krishna says, Tamstirikshaso Bharata. I have already given you the knowledge of soul, Arjuna, so now you should learn to tolerate. You should not say that, you know, Bhishma is my grandfather and I have my uncles and brothers on the other side. No, you should perform your duty. Why do we perform our duty? Because if one strictly sticks to the rules and regulative principles, then one's knowledge is awakened. If one simply sticks to the duty, that is the beauty of duty. If one just keeps doing the duty regularly, as time passes, it awakens the knowledge. And once the knowledge is awakened and devotion is awakened, then one can pave way to liberation by that. So, there also Lord tells Arjuna that you have to tolerate all these dualities that arise in your mind. I like my brothers, or I hate, or I can't tolerate this, I cannot tolerate it. He says, no, for the performance of duty, you just tolerate. So when one acts on the platform of soul, I believe you may remember when Sachinandan Swami Maharaj came here, ground floor, in the car park, we had a program. So at that time he was talking something very relevant to this. So I was there in the lecture also. So he was telling that we preach a lot, we speak a lot about soul, God and everything. But he said that we have to ourselves, first of all, gain this self-awareness. So he was telling, what is the self-awareness? Understanding the true platform of the soul. He said, you have to know that I am different from the body, which means you take a look at yourself from a point outside the body. So he actually got out of his vyasas and he was standing there, if you remember, isn't it? So look at yourself. Understand that this personality who is sitting in the vyasas in here is myself. So he was telling, you have to understand that he is a soul and he is covered by various conditionings in the mind. The man, buddhi, ahankar have got lot of past conditionings. So look at yourself. Analyze your strengths and weaknesses of your mind. Analyze your tendencies, the good and bad tendencies. Analyze your chemistry. Analyze your nature. What kind of person is this person? Actually, we all can ask about ourselves. You have behaved with so many people differently. Sometimes nicely, sometimes badly, sometimes in particular ways. So now one can look at oneself. So he was saying self-awareness means to take a look at oneself, identifying our strengths, weaknesses, in order to bring about an improvement. I am actually a pure soul, but I am covered by conditionings which are superficial coverings. Anartho pashamam shakshat bhakti yoga madokshaje lokasya ajanato vidvams chakre satpati sambhitam. In Bhagavatam this verse is said, anartha, there are many anarthas covering the soul. Upashamam sakshat. Upashamam means to completely eradicate the anarthas. The Bhagavatam, Bhagavata Purana, Mahapurana is presented by Veda Vyas. So that anartha is explained in Bhagavatam also, how yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paraha api manute anartham tatpuram chabi padyate. That is the anartha. We are divine, we are pure, we are transcendental, but covered by the conditionings, we identify with it. Just like rainwater, when it falls on the ground, it becomes red or black depending on the sand with which it mixes. Similarly, the soul also becomes covered over and we identify with our conditionings. So, it's very easy to give classes or preach this information, but one has to look at oneself and understand the conditionings of our heart. And if we can know our own conditionings, it will be so valuable for every individual if we can know our own conditionings. So we can pray to the Lord, please kindly help me to come out of these conditionings. Actually, we have the right to pray to the Lord that, my dear Lord, I am a conditioned soul, conditioned by these anarthas, and I have detected in my own heart these anarthas, and because of which I am suffering. One such prayer comes to my mind in the prayers of Gajendra. So Gajendra is offering such a heart melting prayer. He is saying, oh my dear Lord Krishna, oh my dear Supreme Lord. He actually doesn't know who is the Supreme Lord, but he knows that there is one Supreme Lord. So when we used to hear the story in our young age, so what Gajendra called is, oh Adimulame, oh Anatyakam Aparpata Parampurule, is calling. Oh Adimulame means, oh source of everything. Oh the one truth beyond every other truth. Parampurule means the Supreme Truth. So that is the way he calls. He doesn't call Krishna because he doesn't know it is Krishna. He doesn't know Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He doesn't know. That is why even if one does not know God, still one can pray to God, understanding that He is the Supreme Truth beyond all truths. So he is praying to Him, saying that, my dear Lord, you see, I am a pure soul, but now I am trapped in the body of an ignorant animal. This body of elephant is, he is saying, it's an ignorant body. He says, Madhri Prapanna Pashu Pasha Vimokshanaya. Pashu Pasha is saying, I have been put in those pasha of Pashu's body, ignorant body. But you are Muktaya, you are always liberated. And not only are you liberated, you are Bhuri Karunaya, you are also extremely merciful to all the living beings. And you are never tired in getting the living entity back to his constitutional position. So he is praying like this, please kindly deliver me from this body of ignorance. So if we can realize that we are sitting in a body of passion, or we are sitting in the body of ignorance, or a combination of passion and ignorance, and we observe our conditionings owing to which we are affected by dualities. Ishtanishtopapattishu, Krishna says. Ishtanishtopapattishu means sometimes some things are ishta, some things are pleasurable to you, some things are anishta, not pleasurable. Somebody praises me, I feel pleasure. Somebody tells my fault, I feel morose. So this is ishta and anishta. So heat and cold, like maan and apmaan, sukha and dukkha, when they come, we all behave differently. So the reason for our behaving differently is because of our conditionings. We are not able to see that material pleasure and material pain, both are equal, there is no difference between the two. So as Krishna says here, devotees of the Lord, they never take material praise very seriously. They don't take material insult also very seriously. They just don't care for them. So if we can, just as this Gajendra is praying, if we can be self-aware that I am different from the body, I have these conditionings, and if we keep on praying over a period of time, we can come to a platform where we can see that I am subjected to dualities, but we will not be affected by them. One practical example, I got a small pastime from Prabhupada, pastime. So one time, Harikesh Prabhu, so he was attending to the accounts and everything. So Punjab National Bank was handling our ISKCON accounts in some place. And they had made some miscalculation, I mean adding, so made some wrong calculation. So Harikesh was going through the balance sheet and he found the mistake and he became very upset. So he called for the Punjab National Bank manager. So when the manager came to his room, he showed the fault. Just look here, this is nonsense, he said. Then immediately the manager became wild. He said, do you say Punjab National Bank is nonsense? How can I say that? I would like to meet your Swamiji now. And immediately complained to him. So immediately he went to complain to him. Then he was taken to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada heard. Actually Prabhupada was observing what's going on there. He observed it. And then Prabhupada sat with the manager and he pacified. The manager was talking some sweet words to him with great difficulty, and then he sent him off. So after he went, Prabhupada called Harikesh Prabhu. And Prabhupada said, look at these people. There are many people, I would exactly like to say, because instead of me telling, I would like to read the exact sentence. It's very powerful when you hear from Prabhupada directly. Srila Prabhupada had overheard the exchange and managed to calm the manager down. The man left still glowering at Harikesh. Prabhupada called in the repentant Harikesh. He conceded that the manager is not very smart and that with his red tape and bureaucracy, he has caused us a variety of problems since the branch opened. Still, Prabhupada lectured Harikesh on his dealings with importantly placed men. Here is the key. We are coming to this point. How should we deal with importantly placed men? Prabhupada said, they may be fools, but they can cause so much trouble because of their position. Therefore, we have to deal very carefully with them. Otherwise, they can make so many difficulties for us. You understand? So, somebody who is placed in a big position may be a big fool also. But if you call him a fool, then you can be in trouble. That is why sometimes one has to be very wise in dealing in the material situations. As an example, Prabhupada cited the time when he returned to India from Africa with his secretary, Shyam Sundar Prabhu. Shyam Sundar had failed to arrange a health card for Srila Prabhupada to show that he had been inoculated against yellow fever. So they are supposed to carry a health card to show. So as soon as they arrived in Bombay, the immigration officer requested it. Considering the man to be a petty official, Shyam Sundar got angry and started yelling at him. As a result, the officer became very negative and deliberately went out of his way to hinder them. Prabhupada said that had Shyam Sundar been a little sensitive, the man would probably have not made a fuss. But the result was that Srila Prabhupada was locked up for 7 days in a quarantine. What is quarantine? Somebody knows.
To keep society, no one allowed to meet. People are protected so that they don't infect others.
He was put in a quarantine. Prabhupada shook his head as he recalled his stay in the quarantine house. Prabhupada says, it was very disturbing because although there were nice gardens, I was not allowed out of my room. All the windows were barred. So Prabhupada told Harikesh, even if you are agitated, you should never show it. See Prabhupada's teaching. Even if you are agitated, you should never show it. He quoted a verse from Chanakya Pandit to that effect. And he gave the example of Sri Raghunath Das, who by his sweet words saved his uncle and family from a dangerous situation at the hands of an envious official. The conclusion, Prabhupada said, was that a Vaishnava should be friendly in all his dealings. Samashatrau cha mitre cha. So, with enemies and friends, your Vaishnava devotee is equal. So, Raghunath Das Goswami, how he very carefully dealt with the Turkish official who came, isn't it?
Tax collector.
Actually, Raghunath Das's father had done some kind of bribery. He had taken away additional money than what he was supposed to take. So he hadn't paid. So when the tax collector comes, how Raghunath Das very intelligently dealt with him. He spoke very sweet words to him. What did he say? You remember? He said there can be sometimes quarrels, sometimes good relation between brothers. Like my father and yourself, you are like brothers, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you are like my uncle. So hearing the Turkish officer started embracing Raghunath Das, and he felt Raghunath Das is like so innocent. How can I ever punish this person? So he could not punish him. Rather, he told him that let your father come back and we will settle the matter. He can pay me a little bit bribe also. He can settle the matter. So, not only Raghunath Das Goswami, you will find Sanatan Goswami also, isn't it? Sanatan Goswami, isn't it? How he
bribed the jailkeeper.
And also you will see how he spoke very intelligently to the jailkeeper, saying that I am going to Mecca, isn't it? And you are also a Jinda peer. So you are also, you are supposed to actually assist one who wants to go to Mecca. He was going to Mecca in one sense. How? He was going to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was going to a spiritual shelter. But he told him in his language, in which he can understand. And that fellow also. Actually, that fellow was ready because at the same time Sanatana was giving him many, many gold coins. So he was ready, but he was a little afraid that whether he will be beheaded if the Nawab comes back. So what did he say? Even he gave him idea for that also. He told him, tell him that, you know, I went with my handcuffed hands and legs chained for passing stool, and when you allowed me to go for passing stool, I jumped off into the Ganges and I was drowned inside like that. So he gave him a clue also, so that even he won't be in trouble. So, anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya vajana. Whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness, one should do. So we find how intelligent was Sanatana Goswami. There is one word which says that a devotee is an expert. What is that?
Daksha.
Daksha is coming in this verse only? Previous verse. Shichir Daksha it comes. There we read, isn't it? A devotee is an expert. How he deals with them. Even enemies are friends. Dhira, dhira, janapriya. He has no shatru at all. Our Yudhishthira was called as Ajata Shatru. His enemy was not born yet, it is said. He had no enemies. That means even with an enemy, a devotee can deal very warmly, very kindly. He does not consider anyone his enemy at all. He considers everyone equal. And how is he able to deal like that? That is because of this thing. Mana paman, shita ushna, sukha dukkha. All these things he is considering them equal. So when one has gained this self-awareness, understanding that I am the soul, I am servant of Krishna, and these are all superficial situations which come externally. Nobody is my enemy, nobody is my friend. So one should always see in relation to Krishna everything. Like for example, Sanatana Goswami knew that this person can help me return to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This person, because he's a big fool, he has the ability to stop me from reaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Correct? Same thing with Raghunath Das Goswami also. He was very intelligent, he understood. In fact, when he wanted to escape, how intelligent he escaped. Again, he tricked his parents when he escaped. So, these people, you will see that their goal is Krishna. In order to achieve Krishna, unnecessarily my false ego should not come in between in achieving that goal. So many times, as Prabhupada explains to Harikeshya, we bring our false ego in between and we consider the man apaman to be very, we take it very, very seriously. And we mistake it to be transcendental. Like we say, you know, this person was saying this about ISKCON, this fellow was saying this about devotee. I cannot tolerate. I felt insulted, so I blew up. But actually, Prabhupada was very intelligent. As he said, our purpose is ultimately Krishna's purpose should be served. And in order to do that, sometimes one has to be very intelligent. As Prabhupada says, a devotee is friendly with everyone. Why? Because if you are friendly with everyone, you can use that friendliness to accomplish great things for Krishna, for Krishna's sake. And people will do great things. Like you see, Vamandev, for example, he speaks very wonderful words. Words of praise to Bali, glorifying Prahlad, glorifying Virochan, and glorifying Bali. And then Bali gives the whole world. So, Vamandev never said, I am Supreme Personal Godhead, I have come now. And Bali, you are insignificant king, put your head down, I'll keep it on your head. He never said that directly. So, Prabhupada was very wise, very intelligent also. He knew how to act with everyone in a friendly way to accomplish Krishna's purpose. Like here, as Prabhupada says, somebody may be in such a position, he may be a fool, but he has the ability to cause trouble. In this world, we should never make enmity with anybody. Sometimes we generally think somebody is a very small person, no? How is he going to harm me? Like here, Shyam Sundar Prabhu thought, he's a petty official, you know, asking, show the health card, you know. And so Shyam Sundar Prabhu took him very cheaply. He thought that, you know, what is this tiny officer, you know? He's making a big show of his position. And I get out of our way. You know, we have to go ahead. So then the petty official wanted to show, I may not be able to do any good thing for you, but I can do harm to you. Isn't it? Just wait and see, I will show you my power. And he showed his power. You can see that. Similarly, there are some people who can actually disturb our devotional service and cause great harm if we unnecessarily pick up quarrel with them. Like our Srinath Babu used to tell a story of an elephant. The elephant was walking in the road and he saw some ants passing by. Ants go in thousands, isn't it? So elephant could have easily crossed by putting his leg and gone ahead. He looked at the ants and he wanted to have some fun. So he started pounding on the ants. The elephant, because the elephant has a big feet, in one feet he can pound on thousands of elephants, thousands of ants. So, on elephantine leg you can imagine how many ants are fitting. So the leader of the ants saw that and he was crying. He said, "Oh, foolish elephant, do you have any common sense? Now God has given you such big legs, you can always cross over the ants and go. We are so tiny creatures, how can he pound on us like this?" The elephant gave a big laugh. He said, "This is just fun for me." And he said, "What can you do to me? You are all so tiny." And then the leader of the ant said, "Wait and see what we will do to you." And the elephant went away. Later on what he did? The elephant was sleeping. The ant entered into his ears. It started biting inside the ears. So badly, elephant jumped up. They ran here and there madly. And the king came to know that the elephant has gone mad. He at once ordered the mouth to kill the elephant. It was immediately shot dead. So we can understand a tiny ant can cause so much problem to a huge elephant. In the same way, we should never take anyone cheaply. So Prabhupada used to say, never disturb any living entity. Because living entity means he has free will. We have to remember that. You know, if you are a little unhappy with the mic, mic is not making noise, you can do like this. You won't react. But even every tiny living entity has free will. We have to remember that. And they can use their free will in the way they want. So everyone can be a potential disturber to us if you are not careful. So it's better to be friendly with everyone as much as possible. Anybody can cause any trouble anytime. So a devotee is not a person who is diplomatic in his ways. You may think, is devotee cunning? Is devotee diplomatic? You know, to superficially behave like a friend, but heart of hearts he knows that fellow is a fool. No. A devotee's heart is very pure. He knows the fact that every living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna. And therefore every living entity is completely pure. He is convinced. He actually loves every living being. Who is seated in every body. Because he loves Krishna's part, undoubtedly. But at the same time he knows, although the living being is pure, he is covered by conditionings. Is covered by impurities, due to which different living entities behave differently. And that is why a devotee exercises caution in dealing with different living entities differently. He exercises caution, but he does not retaliate back or he does not insult them. But he exercises caution. Just like one incident comes to my mind, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was called with Dhritarashtra, and Dhritarashtra was glorifying this Varanavat. We used to have a Shiva's festival there. And all the many people used to go for that. So he said, "I also want to send all of you Pandavas for the festival there. And then we have arranged for a Varanavat Lakshagraha, big palace to live." So Yudhishthira was not foolish, he was intelligent. So he called his brothers and asked them, "Why our uncle wants to send only us? Why does he not want to send Duryodhana and his brothers? It seems to me that there is some diplomacy, some cunning plan going on behind the screen. You may not be aware." So Yudhishthira was very intelligent. He knew it. But still he obeyed the order of his uncle. So he went. But then Vidura was very kind. He gave him signal what's going to happen in Varanavat and all that. So the idea is the devotee is very intelligent. So he knows how to prevent himself from the mischievous living entities. But still he doesn't hate the mischievous living entities. That is the height of the whole thing. Even if a living entity is mischievous, still a devotee does not hate them. That is the most difficult thing for us. As soon as we find out, detect that somebody has been the cause of my demotion, somebody has been the cause of my trouble, immediately that person becomes our sworn enemy in our life. Correct? You are the culprit, just wait and see what I am going to do to you. We become sworn enemies. Sometimes there are fights between families, One family does some problem to other family and they take revenge. And these people keep the revenge in mind and they take counter revenge. And then they keep the counter revenge in mind. It's like generation after generation they are very nicely, like a table tennis match, returning the revenge. You can see that several generations. And they will be handing it over also down to the children. "Hey, remember that people, they are there. Keep in mind, beta, I could not do that, you should do it." give them a good lesson. Show to them that we are not ordinary people. You know, isn't it? Yeah, it goes generations down. Whereas you can see, the devotee knows that somebody is mischievous towards me and cunning towards me and trying to harm me. But still, a devotee does not retaliate. A devotee tolerates. And a devotee still does not stop loving that living being. That is really miraculous. Only a pure devotee can do that. Because he is behaving on this platform. Because he is free from duality. Some material praise or material insult does not affect a devotee at all. You see, in the material world, people give so much importance to the praise. Like I recently went to a very rich man's house with one devotee. Recently a visitor. So that fellow had one assistant who was constantly glorifying him. Yeah. So this wealthy man was telling us, you know, I have done this, I have done that, and that fellow will repeat that and then add little more, two more to that. And I was doing. Maybe I thought that fellow may be his brother. So later on the devotee who took me there, he told me that no, he's not his brother, he's employed servant to praise him. To keep praising his glorious activities. He was telling. You have seen that, any of you like this?
We have heard it.
Is it?
Olden days, kings used to have bards.
Bards they used to have, yeah. So this man was having like that. He's a paid servant who is supposed to give, you know, keep encouraging him for his great activities. Whoever comes, that fellow keeps glorifying all his activities like that. So some people sometimes employ people to just praise them, can you imagine? Yeah, people do, because material praise is so pleasing to the ears. Yeah, it is so pleasing to the ears. And similarly, insult is very painful. Somebody insults, even on a material platform, it is very painful. Like you see, why we feel insulted? Because of the false ego. False ego means to identify with the body. So we feel insulted because of that. So once I was hearing in a lecture, Rana Swami was speaking, he was telling, if somebody insults you, that you insignificant guy, if you say, he said, you are insignificant. He said, you are 1/10,000th of the tip of the hair. You are small. He is just telling you what you are. And why do you feel so bad? He said. Yeah. And then he said, if you think that he is insulting something in connection to your body, he said, you are anyway not the body. And body is a changing body. If somebody says you are black, you are fat, you are tall, you are short, you are stout, you are thin, these are ways people insult someone, isn't it? Actually, the material body is such that always everyone can be insulted in some way or other. Easily. Somebody is short, you know, you can tell him you are very short. Somebody is tall, you can say you are like a giraffe. You are too thin like that. You know. Somebody is black, you can say you are like a coal black, you can say. Somebody is fair, you know, you got some what disease, you know.
White leprosy.
White leprosy, yeah. You got white leprosy, whatever. You're too fat. You're ugly, you can say that, isn't it? Or you can say you have big nose, you know, you have big eyes. You can always insult anybody you want. So even if somebody insults you in any way, you are not the body, then why should you lament? Okay, you say that, okay, I am not the body, but I am the soul. But soul is anyway very insignificant. If somebody says you are insignificant, he is not insulting you, he is just telling you the reality. That you are very tiny, you are very small. So either way, there is no reason to be insulted. Only reason we become insulted is that we think I am this body. False ego comes in between. So, in material world, this praise and fame and infamy, or praise and dishonor, this is taken very seriously by people. The whole world is simply centered around showing off to one another. Everyone is trying to show off to other people. That's why. It is simply show off. It's a show off material world. Everyone. You remember I told you a story of this Ushtranam Vivaheshu Gadarbham Pratijayate. You remember this? Who remembers this? Ushtranam. Ushtra means a camel. Vivaheshu means marriage. In the marriage of a camel, marriage party of a camel, isn't it? Who came? Gadarbham Pratijayate. Gadarbham. A donkey came there. And the donkey saw that all the animals have got so many gifts to give the camel on his marriage day. and I have come with empty hands. What should I give? At least some words of praise I should offer at least. So he contemplated, what words of praise can I give? So when he was coming in the queue, his turn came. So as soon as he approached the camel, what did he say? Ahorupam, he said. What a beautiful form you have, he said. And that fellow also reciprocated back, telling the donkey, Ahodvani, he said. What a sweet voice you have. So see, this story is very meaningful. This is from Subhashitas. You see, these kind of verses illustrate the nature of materialistic people in the material world. This fellow is saying, Ahorupam, although the camel has the most ugly looking form, it is bent in such a way and eyes are always closed, you know, look completely sunken, ugly looking face, and he's saying Ahorupam. And the donkey is famous for what? For a dirty voice, bad voice. When the donkey brays, nobody wants to hear, isn't it? It's very, you know, intolerable. And he is calling Ahodvani. Why these two things are highlighted in this verse? Because this is the way people glorify one another in the material world. It's really portraying the materialistic relationships. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. Scratching each other's back, we will be glorifying one another like that. That's material world. Actually, for a devotee, such praise has no meaning at all. It doesn't make any difference. Like we may glorify somebody's degree, he has got a B.Tech, he has got a M.Tech, he has got a doctorate. This is simply superficial. Yeah, we may glorify a person's lineage. He comes from a Crorepati family, he comes from a very wealthy family. Or somebody may glorify your caste, you know, he is born in a Brahmin family, you know, he is Brahmana by birth. You know. These things make no difference to a devotee, because these are simply superficial qualifications. The one is glorified with all these things. Such praise actually never touches the heart at all. That is why whenever we glorify anyone, we should glorify them in relation to Krishna. Always. It's very important. Like, you know, when you hear a lecture of a devotee, you are very inspired. You should say, oh, Mataji or oh, Prabhuji, how wonderful Krishna is manifesting through you. Thank you very much. So you are seeing that Krishna is actually manifesting in the form of words. You see like that. So we should always glorify or praise anyone in relation to Krishna. That is why there is one of the offenses you will know. It says that one should not praise anyone in front of the deity. You know that?
Yeah.
Because deity deserves the greatest praise. And we should not praise anyone. Like for example, if some Lakhpati or Karodpati comes, you know, he comes, stands in front of the deity and you say, oh Karodpati, oh Lakhpati, you know, you are this, you are that, you are famous for this business. Saha, saha, flowers, isn't it? You know, you are world famous, you know, you have got 100 branches of this. We should not glorify a person's material acquisitions in front of the deity. We should not do that. Of course, you can glorify even such a businessman. You can say, although you are a Karodpati, you are coming and bowing your head to Krishna, that is your glory. Then you are glorifying him in relation to Krishna. Otherwise, there is... Like, why do we glorify Pratap Rudra? Because of his surrender to Lord Chaitanya. And because he's taking a broomstick and, you know, cleaning in front of the Rath cart. So he deserves to be glorified. So we should glorify any great personality for it, with any great qualification in relation to Krishna. So, a devotee does not take also insult very seriously. Tulya Ninda Stutir Mauni, it is said. He takes the insult and stuti equally. Tulya means equal. He does not take any insult. When Srila Prabhupada called all his God brothers to wake up and do something for the pleasure of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he took a great meeting, you know, that's there in the Vyasa Puja book. But nobody paid any heed to him. Then he said, I am ready to go abroad. Can any of you help me, support me, arrange for my ticket? I will go and preach, and once I establish some group of Americans and all, I will invite all of you. Then let's all jointly preach together. Prabhupada invited. But nobody helped. In fact, nobody was ready to give dhoti also to him. Even proper dhoti he didn't get when he was in India. So, later on, you know how Prabhupada went to America. He made Americans into devotees after a lot of struggle. And then he brought some Americans to India, to Mayapur. And they purchased a big land in Mayapur. And vast land they had got. So only Prabhupada's cottage was there, and there was a vast land. And Prabhupada was making great plans. So in the neighborhood of Mayapur temple, you'll find there are some Gaudiya Math. So there was a god brother of Prabhupada in those Gaudiya Math. So one of the disciples of Prabhupada, Yashomadinandan Prabhu, went there to meet one of those god brothers of Prabhupada. So that person was sarcastically laughing and he was telling, see, we are all born in Vaishnava families. Right from childhood we were Vaishnavas. So we just know only to simply speak from Bhagavatam and glorify the Lord. That's all we know. But your guru, Prabhupada, he was a businessman. So he's using his business talents now. Simply he's using his business skills in expanding the society of ISKCON. Like that he said and laughed. So Prabhupada's disciples felt very insulted. So they came back to Prabhupada and told Prabhupada, you know, we felt very broken hearted to hear this from one of your envious god brothers. He said that you simply, you are a businessman and you are a very intelligent, skilled businessman, because of which, you know, you could do all these things. And Prabhupada just laughed it off. He never took it seriously. He said, yes, I am an expert businessman, Prabhupada said. Because a businessman needs to have four things, he said. A businessman has to have land, has to have labor, capital, and organization. And Prabhupada said, so I went to America, that's my land. And I worked very hard in America, so I labored hard. And because I worked hard and preached, I got a lot of capital from all of you Americans. So I got capital. And because I am a businessman, I knew the organization, so I am coming back and establishing Mayapur Dham. I am making this Mayapur center here. So Prabhupada said, yes, let them call me a businessman. I am Krishna's businessman. Let me use all my business talents in Krishna's service. He said, he never took it as an insult at all. So a devotee is least concerned about how others insult him or her. Actually, we are very particular to know who insulted me and in what way they insulted me. We want all the details, complete details, so that we can take proper action on them. So we will not spare them. Actually, sometimes people are very fond of gossip and people are very fond of hearing about these things. See, Prabhupada was least concerned. Okay, somebody insulted me, let him insult, no problem. Because some of his god brothers were very friendly and other god brothers were envious. And Prabhupada didn't care. Okay, if they want to insult, let them insult. Because Krishna will give them their due share. We don't have to be so much worried about, you know, I want to take action on that person. Immediately we feel our hands are itching to take some action. No need. Krishna will take action on somebody who is insulting us. So Prabhupada exhibited his Vaishnava quality because when a Vaishnava is insulted, he doesn't worry. But Krishna is insulted, then Vaishnava takes it very seriously. Or other Vaishnavas are insulted, a Vaishnava cannot tolerate. On the other hand, you can see there were some god brothers of Prabhupada who were very loving. There was an Anand Babu. There was an Anand Babu. Prabhupada used to call him Anand Babu. So when he welcomed Prabhupada, you know, personally he would cook with his own hands and serve, and he was serving, you know, all the Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada would be sitting at one side, one end, and watch him running around and serving morning and evening. And Prabhupada said, just see, this is a Vaishnava. He has not eaten himself. He is, you know, cooking himself. He is serving all of himself, and in that he delights in rendering service to everyone. So there were some Vaishnavas like that. So Prabhupada never felt insulted by anyone who insulted him. And if somebody praised him, like there was one disciple of Bhagavan Saraswati who praised Prabhupada so much that he had done a great thing. He had done a miracle which none of us could do. He openly glorified Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, what have I done? And I have not done anything, Prabhupada said. I have simply repeated the words of our spiritual master. And I have no credit. If there is any credit anybody wants to give me, what is the credit? That I have simply, like a postal peon, repeated the words of my spiritual master. And I haven't done anything. Prabhupada never took any credit for anything that happened that, under his direction. He never took any credit. So that is why because he doesn't take any credit for the glorious things that he has done, he also doesn't feel insulted when somebody insults him at all. So we can easily understand, we have a fruity mentality. Everyone is eager for credit. Everyone wants to grab the credits. I did it. For example, if some wonderful thing happens, and says, who did this wonderful thing? I did it. Now, 20 people jump in the center. Say, I did it. Everyone wants to grab the credit. And if some problem happened, hey, here's the problem. Then everyone will ask, who did it? Everyone will be asking, hey, tell us. Everyone will be showing hand to others. Isn't it? And everyone will flee from that. Nobody will come. If there is a problem, then I should not be captured. I should not be caught. They will run away. When there is a credit, then everyone wants to come. So this is called a fruitive mentality in the material world. Fruitive mentality means attachment to the result of one's action. Sometimes our contribution may be very insignificant. Somebody else might have done a lot. Still, when the credit comes, there are people who are proud of taking the credit. Are proud of taking the credit, although they don't deserve it. So that is the nature of conditioned soul. He is very fond of the credit. Whether he deserves it or doesn't deserve it, he loves credits. He likes to enjoy credits. So, Tulya Ninda Stutir Mauni, this means one takes the stuti and ninda equally. This can be only done by somebody in such a stage where one is absorbed in the remembrance of the Lord. It is said a Vaishnava does not want a hindrance in the remembrance of the Lord. He is remembering the glories of the Lord in his mind and heart, and his heart is soaked with Krishna consciousness. And this type of praise or insult which comes in between, he doesn't want it to be a hindrance. So he just takes it both equally. He doesn't become disturbed by them. Yeah. You know, when Chitraketu was flying in the Akashmarg, he was flying in the sky. At the time he saw Lord Shiva was sitting and giving a lecture on Vairagya, and Parvati Ji was sitting on his lap very close to him. So he gave a big laugh. He laughed loudly from his aeroplane. So Prabhupada says that the aeroplane must have been flying quite low. So Parvati, within the hearing of Parvati, he loudly laughed, so she could hear it. So at that time, Chitraketu was traveling in the airplane with many of the Vidyadhara women surrounding him. And they were all loudly singing the holy names of the Lord, glorifying the holy names of the Lord. So when he was flying, he laughed like this. So Lord Shiva never took any insult at all. But Parvati saw that he is insulting my husband. She looked at him and immediately spelled a curse on him. She said, you become a demon. She cursed him. So immediately Chitraketu comes down. So he came down, offered obeisances to Parvati and said, oh my dear mother, whatever boon or curse you wanted to give me, I am ready to accept it. After all, you are like my mother. Whatever you give, I am ready to accept. So he said, like that. So there are many elaborate purports of different acharyas there. If you see, the main topic of concern for us here is the insult. So Prabhupada is saying that Lord Shiva and Chitraketu both are pure devotees and both are friends. And amongst friends, sometimes there can be a joking relationship between two equal friends. So Prabhupada says that while joking with one another, Lord Shiva, he must have joked with Lord Shiva that you are sitting with your Parvati close to you and you are giving a big lecture on Vairagya. He must have joked with him. And Shiva also must have joked with Chitraketu, saying that you are no less, you are surrounded by all Vidyadhara woman, all Vidyadhara planet, although you are singing the holy names. And both of them are unaffected, although they were with woman. That is the glory of devotion service. That in devotion service, even like in Vaikuntha airplanes, Vaikuntha Vasis travel with their wives in their planes. Although both of them are very beautiful, they have beautiful bodies, they are attracted to the Lord's service more than the attraction for one another. This is explained in the Kingdom of God chapter in Bhagavatam. Similarly, here Chitraketu was surrounded by so many Vidyadhara women, but his heart was untainted. It was pure. Similarly, Shiva was sitting with Parvati, but his heart was pure. focused on the topic what he was speaking. He never was so both of them were simply joking with one another as friends in this manner. But Parvati came in between and became judgmental. It was wrong on her part. Prabhupada explains, whenever there is a quarrel between two big Vaishnavas, whose side you should take?
Nobody's
side. Better with folded palms say, my Lord, this is inconceivable, take a bow turn and go away from that. Because we cannot understand the transcendental quarrel between Advaita Acharya and Nityananda. We cannot understand between Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. Or even between, like one time, Prabhupada was telling about one of his God brothers, that God brother of mine is very envious, so you all should not go there. Actually, American disciples went there to meet him. And that fellow, that God brother of Prabhupada was telling, you all are lechas, yavanas, chandalas. And somehow this Swami Maharaj came there to give all of you the holy name, like they were speaking. And when they came back to Prabhupada like children and said, Prabhupada, you know, he was praising you so much. He said, you were all mlechas, chandalas, yavanas, and you gave us the holy name and sacred thread. Prabhupada said, no, he is not glorifying me, he is insulting all of you. American disciples were very innocent. And Prabhupada said, you people should not go there. Prabhupada told them not to go to that God brother. Later, when that God brother passed away, one disciple who was little curious to know what was going on in Prabhupada's mind, so he came to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, that God brother who has passed away, where he must have gone? No, he asked. And Prabhupada said, he went back to Godhead. And Prabhupada said. And then Prabhupada understood the mentality of the disciple. Because the disciple was thinking, Prabhupada will say he went to hell. That's what he wanted. And Prabhupada said, that is none of your business to talk about my God brother. Who are you to insult my God brother? Prabhupada asked. So this disciple was shocked then. Prabhupada, first you told us that he is envious and all. Yeah, I told you to protect your faith. Not that you take it on your hands and you insult my God brother. So he is my God brother and I have a special relation with him. And you have no right to insult him, he said. You understand? So the transcendental relationships between devotees are difficult to understand. So Shiva is a great devotee, Chitraketu is a great devotee. When there is an apparent quarrel, Parvati got in between. And Parvati spoke like this. And when Chitraketu came down, he offered obeisances. He said, my dear mother, whatever, boon or curse you have given me, I am ready to accept. At that time, Lord Shiva spoke such a beautiful verse. You all can repeat the verse. Narayana para sarve.
Narayana para sarve.
Nakutashchana dibhyati.
Nakutashchana dibhyati.
Swargapavarga narakeshu.
Swargapavarga narakeshu.
Apitulya artha darshanah.
Apitulya artha darshanah.
He said, my dear wife Parvati, you may be very beautiful, but Vaishnavas are far more beautiful than you, he told her. So, because Prabhupada says at that time, when Lord Shiva quoted this verse, Parvati took the end of her sari and covered her head like this and bowed her head down out of shame that she gave a curse to an undeserving person. So at that time Shiva spoke this verse. He told her, my dear Parvati, the devotees of the Supreme Lord, Narayana Parasarve, Nakutachana Vibhyati, they are never afflicted by fear. You put them in Swarga, you put them in Naraka, and you give them Apavarga, it doesn't make any difference. They are happy everywhere. Nobody can insult them. Nobody can praise them. They are untouched by these things. They are completely free from these kind of material emotions. Why? Because they are Narayana Parayana. Because they are always serving the Lord, wrapped in love, wrapped in attention. So they are not affected by these things. And it was a practical lesson for Parvati. She saw it in front of her eyes. How, despite insulting someone, the person has taken the insult in such a positive way. That is why Tulya Nindasti Tirumauni. It makes no difference for a devotee at all. Because the devotee feels, you insult me or you praise me, whatever you want to do, you do. But please don't deprive me of my Krishna consciousness. That is the worry of a devotee. If somebody, like for example, if a husband is constantly insulting a wife, chastising or scolding her, but keeps giving her facilities for enhancing her Krishna consciousness. So if she is an intelligent wife, she is very happy to get insult from the husband. Yeah, every time he gives insult, and after that he gives her nice facilities to grow her Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, imagine a husband is praising her and says that you never go to class, never go to temple, never go to Vaishnavas. And you are this, you are that, he is glorifying her in all way, all possible words. What is the use of such glorification if Krishna consciousness is taken away? So a devotee sees from that point of view. So to protect one's Krishna consciousness is most important for the devotee. Mauni, what is the meaning of Mauni? Silent. Is a devotee silent? So just before coming here, I was reading a conversation of Prabhupada about silent. So one man came to Prabhupada. This is one of the conversations of Prabhupada. So one man came to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, you people don't do meditation. You only chant this mantra. And Prabhupada said, what do you mean by meditation? What is meditation according to you? Prabhupada asked him. And he said, meditation means, you know, we have to become silent. Prabhupada immediately caught it. He said, see, this fellow has exposed his ignorance. Because he thinks that meditation means becoming silent. Why does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita to become silent? He says, satatam kirtayantoma. Always sing my glories loudly. Krishna says. And then he says, manmanabhava madbhakto. Think of me in your mind. He doesn't say, make your mind silent. Isn't he? He doesn't say, become quiet. He doesn't say that. Always chant my glories. Think of me in your mind. Become my devotee. That's what Krishna is saying. And Krishna is saying, Kachidasman manushyeshu kashinne priyakritama. One who proclaims the glories of Bhagavad Gita to Krishna's devotees, they are very dear to me, Krishna says. So Krishna doesn't say, jukchap, keep quiet. Machitta madgata prana godayanta parasparam katayantascha ma nityam. So Prabhupada is quoting one after another continuously. He's katayanta, not that he is mauni. He becomes a mauni Baba. Devotee is supposed to speak. And Prabhupada is saying, why should a devotee stop speaking? A devotee should constantly speak. A devotee should never keep quiet. And then Prabhupada is saying, of course, if somebody has a habit of speaking nonsense, he deserves to be silent. So that he can avoid troubling others. He has to be silent. But if somebody has got something valuable to give, why should he be silent? He should always be speaking. So Prabhupada is telling that person like that. So when Shastra say that a devotee is silent, yes, of course, a devotee, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, there is a comparison. That just like the waterfalls, you see the waterfalls falling? It makes a very beautiful sound, sound of the water. It's very rare to see waterfalls. Nowadays you only see wall pictures of waterfalls. Very rare to see. If you go to Lonavala, you can hear the sound. If you're going to Pune to Bombay train, waterfall sound, so soothing to the heart. So the sound, when you hear it, is very pleasant. Similarly, when a devotee speaks Krishna Katha, how is it like? The waterfall falling. It's very sweet sound to hear. But sometimes the waterfall doesn't fall, it stops. There is no water sometimes. Similarly, a devotee also sometimes may speak, sometimes may be grave. He may not speak according to time, place, circumstance, mood. Like sometimes Prabhupada would not glorify Krishna, understanding that somebody is envious. So Prabhupada would not openly glorify Krishna in that place. And rather, there are devotees Prabhupada would glorify Krishna, who do that. So sometimes a devotee may become grave. Like when a devotee is in the midst of materialists, a devotee may be very reserved in speaking about Krishna. Like the ninth offense says that, isn't it? For the ninth offense? To preach the glories of the holy name to those who are faithless. Yeah. Like, you know, Prabhupada was once strongly arguing against an atheist who claimed there is no God. And Prabhupada said, yes, there is God. Why can't you understand God? And Prabhupada said, there are so many evidences to prove God. So in that class of people, there was a girl who was saying, Prabhupada, if somebody does not accept the Lord will come like Narsingh Dev and kill Hiranyakashipu, isn't it? She was asking, that day you said in the class, no, Prabhupada? She was asking. Prabhupada said, no, you keep quiet, Prabhupada said. He didn't appreciate her. Although she spoke about Narasimhadev, killing the atheist, Hiranyakashipu, Prabhupada didn't appreciate. Because Prabhupada thought, we should not be told to faithless. First of all, a person is challenging, where is God? I don't believe in God. Why should you tell him about past tense from the scriptures? First, he has to be given the fundamental faith. So Prabhupada would use logic always. Logic and reason to smash the atheism. And then after bringing them to a certain platform, then he would speak more about Krishna. So, sometimes a devotee may be silent. Other times a devotee may speak. But generally a devotee always glorifies Krishna, as Prabhupada says, Satatam Ketayan Toma Katantas Chatridapataha. Always devotee should glorify Krishna. So Prabhupada is telling in the lecture, he was telling, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Yare Deko Tare Kaho Krishna Upadesh. And this person is saying, be silent. Isn't it? Yare Deko Tare Kaho Krishna Upadesh. Go out and tell, give Krishna Upadesh to everyone. That is the instruction. So here, when it says Mauni, let's see what Prabhupada says about this Mauni here. See here. He does not speak of anything but the topics about Krishna. Therefore, he is called silent. Silent does not mean that one should not speak. Silent means that one should not speak nonsense. One should speak only of essentials. And the most essential speech for the devotee is to speak for the sake of the Supreme Lord. Yeah. So devotee should be wise to make one's day, morning to night, as much as possible to speak of the glories of the Supreme Lord. So such speaking is beneficial to the individual and to others. And other talks should be reduced as much as possible. See, there are so many talks we do which are connected to the concerns of the body. The material necessities for our regular performance of practical activities. It is said in Prahlad Maharaj, section 7th canto. Prahlad Maharaj ate, he slept, and he bathed, and all these things were happening as if it was a dream for him. And what was the reality then? If those things were happening like dream, eating, sleeping, and bathing and all, if they were like a dream, then what was his real life? His real life was he was always with Krishna, remembering Krishna. Whenever he would sing Krishna's names, or he would serve Krishna, that was real life for him. Other things were like a dream. But in our material conditioned life, eating, sleeping assumes a lot of prominence. Today what is the prasad? Today? This is made, that's made. Special item, isn't it? I am not telling about all of you. I am telling about Brahmacharya like me. Even Brahmacharya wonder today. Oh, today is idli sambar, very nice. Hari bol. We become very attracted to very special items, eatables, and we spend 1 hour to take bath. This body, it takes so much time to take care, isn't it? So eating, sleeping, and maintaining our body appears like real life for us. And chanting Hare Krishna is in the background, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 2 hours finish it off. Isn't it? It goes very fast. So you have to just reverse the cycle. Chanting Krishna, that should become very prominent. That's why he says, Santushto yena kena chit. He says, yena kena chit means somehow or other he's satisfied. Don't ask how. You know, that's not so much importance for a devotee. See? He doesn't, he is silent and he is satisfied with anything. Santushto, kena kena che. Whatever comes up its own card, okay. Today you got kichri, be happy with kichri. So, tomorrow you got opulent foods made in ghee, okay, no problem, accept it. Sometimes you get very opulent foods, sometimes you get very simple foods. So you have to learn from Lord Krishna. You were satisfied with what Sudama Vipra gave. The chipped rice, low quality chipped rice. Because it was given with love. So if something is given with love, one should accept it very happily. On your birthday, if somebody comes and gives you just one groundnut in your hand and says, I am very happy with all your services, Hari Bol. That one groundnut also should accept with great value. That's what Krishna teaches, isn't it? Isn't it? We want our, is this a gift? Is the birthday gift you are giving? Isn't it? So, because it is invested with love, it's given with love. So love should be given more importance than the actual commodity. So santushto yena kena chit, he is satisfied whatever comes of its own accord. Because it is sent by Krishna. Like, you know, I witnessed with my own eyes in one temple when I went. So we all had finished prasad. So I was coming out of the prasad hall, it was almost 2:30. They had kept a plate for me. He's coming out. So one foreign devotee, he came there searching for prasad and nothing was there. All that was there was, you know, rice, lot of rice was there and very little dal was there. Very little at the bottom, you know. So this fellow put some rice on the plate and he poured the dal like this. And dal was sticking here and there a little bit, you know. So I was mixing it and adding some little water, he put a little salt and I was eating. So I went to the devotee and said, Prabhuji, you didn't get dal. He said, no, whatever mercy is left, whatever mercy Krishna has sent, you know, this rice and dal is there. This is great. This is Mahaprasad, this is wonderful. He was very happily eating that. So we have to see it as mercy, it's very important. Generally, when our plate is full with, you know, dozen items, then we say, this is prasad. And then you sometimes get only rice and dal, no sabji. Sometimes devotee is doing only dal sometimes. So a devotee should not curse the prasad. You curse the prasad, only rice and dal. No? You curse it like this and you eat, it will go and trouble your stomach afterwards. Never curse the food you eat. Always praise the food. That is the verse in Vedas. The Vedas verse says, you take the food, praise the food. Oh, how wonderful you are. How wonderful. This is Lord Mahaprasad. Lord has tasted it. When you put it in your mouth, then it will digest very easily. This is secret. So, santushto yena kena chet. By anything that comes up, his own accord, he is satisfied. Yeah. Like Giriraj Swami was telling, he got a great special vairagya. You know when? When he saw his sister on her birthday or some special day, she came to the parents on the dining table, they were all eating food. And she came and started weeping and yelling and screaming, saying that she wanted a new dress. And already she had hundreds of sets of dresses in her room, in her private room she had. But still she wanted a new dress. So he was telling, my Lord, this is height of greed. That how she was torturing the parents when they were eating food. That time she was making a big crying. Imagine somebody cries to you when you're eating food. Right? You're half finished, and somebody says, no, you wash your hands and come and give me this. How will it feel? Huh? So he was telling, when I saw that, I became immediately detached in my life, he said. That time I learned how in material life people are so greedy. So they are not satisfied even with so much. You have hundreds and hundreds of dresses, still you want more and more. There is no satisfaction. But here he says, santushto yena kena chet. Whatever comes of its own accord. So, people like Gaur Prasad Babaji, they were vairagis of the highest order. Sometimes he would go to the Smashan Ghat and take the clothes from a dead body. And he would wear it on his body. Saying that why should I trouble someone to get a cloth? You know, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam. Chirani kyam patina santi disham ti bhiksham naivam vipa parabrita sarayopa shushyam ruddha guha kimajito vatino pasannan kasmat bhajanti kavayodana durmadandam. This is spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. Very wonderful verse. He says, Chirani kyam patina santi disham ti bhiksham. He says, why should one worry about food, clothing or shelter? He says, everything is available. There are fruits available on trees, the trees are dropping the fruits, you can accept them. There are gufas. Even in cold season, you go into a gufa, it is warm. It's like a house, you can reside there. And the rivers are giving so much water, you can drink. And he says, and there are ample flats everywhere. And then one can lie anywhere where one wants to lie. And he says, Satyam, what is it? Satyam chitau kim kashipo prayase bahau swasiddhe upabarkhanakyam satyanjalo kim purudhan napatriya digbal kaladau satikim dukulai. He's asking, these are questions asked. He's asking, what is the need of a pillow to sleep? God has given the hands. You can sleep like this. Upabarkhanakyam, he's asking, what is the need of upabarkhana? What is the need of a pillow? This is your pillow. And what is the need of a patram? He is asking. Patram means?
Plate.
God has given two hands. Satyan jalav kim purudana patriya. What is the need of a patra? He has given two hands. You can show two hands and accept a bhiksha or a fruit or water. He is saying like that. So these are extreme examples of the vairagis. So these are unimaginable by ordinary people. But the purpose of saying this is that one should earn one's livelihood and try to spend minimum time with material body, material life. Like we should try to minimize our material life and maximize our Krishna consciousness. That is the purpose. Because, you know, for example, the simpler we keep our life, the easier it is to maintain. And the more luxuries and facilities will increase, then what happens? Maintenance also increases. A really practical example. Nobody should take any insult from this, but I am telling just a practical example. See, you have a small house, it's easy to maintain. You have a bigger house, then more maintenance. And some people sometimes get 4 or 5 houses in different places. And they think that, you know, I have a lot of money now, I don't want to keep the money. What I will do? I will buy houses and leave it for rent. So, they leave the house for rent, so many people. But then there is so much headache to get the rent and the anxiety increases. You seen that? I practically know this because my father had made a big row of something like about 15 houses. In Agraharam we call it. You know, Agraharam means the Brahmanas. And he said, I will keep only Brahmanas there. That was his conviction. I will not keep anybody else. And the Brahmanas are generally poor. They can't pay much. But he was convinced I will keep only Brahmins. So he kept only Brahmins and they won't pay the monthly rent. And he will go there house to house and he will scold them to get the rent. It's a big difficulty. So I would tell him, you know, then why do you keep the Brahmins? You know, better keep anybody else you want. He said, no. You have to serve the Brahmins. You know, poor Brahmins, you know. Because, you know, they are suffering, they have, you know, already they are suffering from the outside society. Let them all live together and be happy. So he would keep them. But then he would go and say, why you have not paid this month rent? So from my father I learnt, you know, Tyaga Chantir Anantaram. Tyaga Chantir Anantaram means the more you are detached from material acquisitions, to that much you are Shanti, you get peace of mind. The more we increase our material luxuries and comforts and properties and everything, then the more the anxiety. At least in mind you will have anxiety. So I used to tell him, even now I tell him, why do you have all these things? Just sell it off. Just take one small house. Leave the house, Krishna Rama, Govinda, go back to Godhead. Don't, you know, he is above 70, you know, having so many houses, maintaining the house, you know, going, meeting people, asking for the rent. Unnecessary. So when you increase the material life, also the anxiety is also multiplied along with increasing material life. That is why he says, Santushto Yena Kyanachit. One more he says, Aniketa, he says. Niket, you know what is the meaning of Niketan? Niketan, you all know what is Niketan? Niketan means house. Aniketa means one who does not have a house. You know the story of Lord Shiva? Once Lord Shiva was giving charity to many people, and one person came and he said, my dear Lord, you are giving so many things in charity to so many people. The charity that I am going to ask is a very big charity from you. And Shiva said, what do you want? Anything you ask, I'll give you, no problem. And he said, only I don't have a house. So Lord Shiva put a tulasi in the house in which he was living and told him, you take this house. And he went under a tree. So Parvati also followed him. You know the story? That's the kind of vairagi Lord Shiva is. So he lived under a tree after that. He never lived in a house. So a pure devotee can live anywhere and he has no trouble. Like the Goswamis lived under trees. Every day they were living under different trees, not even the same tree. Prabhupada says that if you live under the same tree, you become attached to the tree. This is my tree, nobody should sleep here. This is the tree under which I sleep every day. Who came here? No. And every day you sleep under a different tree. So you don't become attached to any tree also. So Aniketa means, like Prabhupada is Aniketa. How? Once Prabhupada said that I am cursed by the parents of my disciples, that I travel all over the world. And I cannot, although Prabhupada said, just look at the kind of big temples in which I am staying. But I can't stay more than 2 or 3 days. But because of parents, I keep traveling from one place to another. So a devotee is not attached to any particular place of living, that I want to live in this place. Actually, when we live in the same place for a long time, we become attached also. We become attached to the place, we become attached to the furniture, we become attached to the servants, you know, we become attached to the animals. Animals means in the Vedic times cow, modern times dog. So we become attached to animals. Prahlad only says animals, isn't it? So we become attached to many things like that. Aniketa sthiramatir bhaktimanme priyo naraha. So by all these qualities you get a sthiramatir, fixed intelligence, determination, devotee has. So these are wonderful qualities. So we'll conclude the class. Next week we'll conclude this chapter. Text number 20. So when we understand Aniketa, that means are we supposed to aspire for the stage where we have no house? No. The idea is one should make one's home into a temple, just like here we find. Then one's attachment to the material possessions can be very easily circumvented by dovetailing them in Krishna's service. There is no other way. Anything we are attached, we should immediately Krishnaize it, so that that attachment is purified. So we'll conclude here. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki
jai.
Thank you very much. He's saying, you said you should not talk much about prasad and other things. What if a devotee is sick, he's asking. See, this is a problem in this type of lectures, Sometimes you give lecture and later on we face troubles in management. You see, we have to know how to speak the right thing at the right time. Like if a devotee is sick, you can't tell him, Prabhu, don't worry, you are not the body. But Krishna says, don't say like that. So, for a Vaishnava, we have to treat Vaishnava's body as spiritual. So, it's very important. Certainly, for example, I have a particular diet which I take every day. If I say, whatever comes up, some oil items are available, I will eat it. So, I cannot do at my stage, So, somebody in a stage of a pure devotee, whatever anybody gives, he can eat. Ajigar Vritti, Vaishnavas, like that. So, we certainly protect our body because we are in a certain stage of consciousness. We protect our body very well so that we can serve Krishna. But we should understand, when we read these things, we can understand the exalted nature of Vaishnava. Actually, I can give one homework to all of you, which can do. In the 11th canto, there are several definitions of a Uttama Bhagavata. So, it's coming in the 11th canto, Savai Bhagavatottama. It ends with that. So, what he does, he explains Madhyamadhikari, Kanishtadhikari, and then Uttamadhikari, when he explains, he gives practically about 10 or 12 definitions of Uttamadhikari. And the purports are so wonderful there. Navayogindras, to Maharaj Nini. That's really very, very pleasing to heart to read. So, we can read those definitions and we can aspire for them. We can aspire for those wonderful qualities.
So, one more just small question. You said that we should always praise devotees in relation to Krishna. But many times we just praise a devotee. So is that correct or we have to improve?
You tell one example.
And we say how wonderful you speak, but we don't say in connection.
How what?
Today's lecture was nice, or we say how, we praise general, but it's not in relation to Krishna.
Yeah.
You do wonderful seva, we say, or you do a nice Bhagavatam class, or you're so humble. But is that in connection with Krishna, or we should add something further?
At least we have to see it in relation to Krishna. If you see the material skill of a devotee, say a devotee comes with a guitar here, he plays on the guitar. Hey, you know so many chords in guitar, I would like to learn these chords. One just gets into only the material skill part. Sometimes even devotees play mridangam, boom boom boom, they play like, and we become very attracted. Hey, I want to learn that step you are playing, so that I can also play like you and earn fame and name, So we should not become too captivated by only superficial material skills. That was the point. In relation to Krishna means you understand this is a nice devotee. He is a Krishna conscious devotee. We have to see like that at least. Otherwise if you only see material skill, then we become superficial there.